Well, we've been doing a series on 1 Peter, and we're coming to the very end of 1 Peter today. The beginning of 1 Peter was all about how we as Christians should go out and live in the world. How does a Christian church go out into the world, and how should you live when you're out in the world? And then there's this funny part in chapter 4 when he says, amen. And amen usually signifies the end of something, usually a prayer. Here it signifies the fact that from now on he's talking about how we as Christians live as a church community. And so some of these things in this last chapter and a half, you're going to say, boy, I've heard that before in 1 Peter. And you're right, you have. A lot of these themes are repeated. But they're repeated because now he's addressing how they should be living as a church community. So I'm going to start reading in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, and it's on page 859, if you're using one of these Bibles. If you'd like one of these Bibles, they're on the table right back there. So 1 Peter 4, starting with verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And then some final greetings that we usually put at the beginning of our letters, they put at the end. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet each other with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Peter. There's this proverb in here that he repeats. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he further develops that in verses 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. The phrase God's mighty hand actually has its historical roots in the story of Exodus. You may remember the story of Moses, who was just taking care of his own little sheep in the desert all by himself one day, and all of a sudden he comes upon this bush that appears to be burning, but not burning up. And when he approaches this bush, the voice of the Lord speaks to him, and he says, "Moses, you are standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes." And Moses takes off his shoes, and he stands there, and of course he's afraid because this is God speaking to him. And God says to him, "Moses, I am choosing you to go to Egypt, where my favorite people are, the Israelites. They've been held in slavery, and I've heard their cries, and I want you to be the one to go tell Pharaoh, the king, that he should release them." Moses says, "Yeah, right. Remember, I can't speak very well. Remember that part? And by the way, I'm just a little shepherd guy, and here's this big king, and like he's ever going to listen to me." And God says, "You're going. I'm choosing you. You're going." He calls Moses. And what does he say? Moses in turn complains to God. Moses says, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? Is this why you have sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on these people, and you have not rescued your people at all." And then the Lord says to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of the country." God's mighty hand. God's mighty hand is a sign of deliverance in the Old Testament. His mighty hand will deliver the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt. And now here we are in the New Testament, and Peter is using the same phrase to this church. This church that is being persecuted because they believe in Jesus Christ. This church that is being persecuted because they call themselves Christians. Peter says, God's mighty hand is with you. A sign for them of deliverance from that persecution. Now I think we all know that this phrase is not really in the literal sense, that we can't actually see this like huge hand coming down from the clouds and fixing things on earth. Although when I went on Google Images and just typed in God's mighty hand to see what would happen, up comes this picture of this cloud that looks like a hand. And I guess there were these biker dudes that were out biking, and they're Christian bikers, and they saw this cloud that looks like a hand, and now they think it's God's mighty hand. But really, we know that there's not this actual literal hand that we see with human eyes. But have you ever just felt God's hand in a situation, delivering you from something? Have you ever just known that God's hand was really in something? There's an experience in my life that I can remember quite clearly when I just felt like God's mighty hand was delivering me from quite a bad accident. It was about 1 a.m. I was in college driving home down the East Beltline, and you know how all the lights flash, and I have my yellow flashing lights. I'm in my Renault Alliance convertible, which I really miss, by the way. And I'm driving down the road at 1 a.m. and I'm coming up to that Knapp intersection, which didn't used to have all those stores that says how old I am. And so it's a pretty desolate intersection, but I have my blinking yellow light, and there's a car about 200 feet in front of me, and then there's another car about 500 feet behind me, and I've got my radio going, and I'm just enjoying the night. It's a beautiful summer night. And all of a sudden, I realized that the car coming across on Knapp wasn't going to stop for their blinking red light. And sure enough, it's almost in slow motion. I see that car coming across and hitting the car in front of me, and this car spinning and hitting a lamp pole, and this car spinning and stopping in the middle of the intersection at 1 a.m. in the morning. And as I'm driving up quite quickly onto the car, my dad is a former race car driver, and he's taught me well. You never brake. Never, ever, ever brake. Always drive out of a situation. So I yank my car, and I pull it off to the side, just in time to turn around and see the car behind me come and smash into the car in the middle of the intersection, flipping over on its roof, landing on the roof, and sliding down the road. The firemen said they've never seen such a bad accident. Every car around me was affected in that accident. People died in that accident. And I just felt God's hand maneuvering me out of that. And as I drove home about an hour later after writing out this terrible police report and just shaking so bad, this old Amy Grant song is going through my head. God only knows the time my life was threatened just today. A reckless car ran out of gas before it came my way. Near misses all around me, accidents unknown. But I'll never see with human eyes the hands that lead me home. But I know they're all around me, all day and through the night. And when the enemy is closing in, I know sometimes they fight to keep my feet from falling. I'll never turn away. If you're asking what's protecting me, then you're gonna hear me say, God is angels watching over me every step I take. What about that enemy closing in? What about that fight? We don't see that with human eyes either, but Peter refers to that in this scripture too. He says to the church, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. There's actually a passage in James that almost mirrors this passage directly. It's from James 4, and it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This similarity is more than a coincidence. There was a basic Christian teaching in the early Christian church that said, there is a Satan, there is a devil who is actually living and active and working in our world. And because that is true, we need to recognize that we are in absolute need of God's grace if we are to overcome the work of the devil. We have to remain completely humble and say that we can't do it by ourselves. We can't resist the devil's work by ourselves. We need God. We need the deliverance of God's mighty hand to overcome the work of the devil. What do you think? Does the devil work within the church community today? How? Okay, divisiveness over small issues. Maybe they seem big when you're going through it, but looking back, they're just not that important. How else? Pardon? Apathy. Just not caring. Okay. Yeah. Say it one more time. Cultural influences. How the culture around us affects the church. Sometimes in good ways, but sometimes in negative ways. Peter says, yeah. False pride. Okay. So we get a sense of false pride and we feel superior to other people and we don't deserve that. Distortion of the truth. Yeah, being able to recognize truth. Yeah. And Peter says to that church, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Sorry, that was in James. Peter says, resist the devil, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The reality is that we know that God's mighty hand is way more powerful than the work of the devil. Some of the phrases that we sang earlier are, he wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. Just trembles at his voice. Are we saying, he brings glory to the humble and crowns the faithful. This is our God. So call upon his name. He is mighty to save. This is our God. Call upon his name. Through our prayers, we know that the devil's work is overcome. As I think about all the incredible ministry opportunities that we have this summer, I think that praying about this unseen battle is absolutely crucial. I think we can assume that the devil can be working overtime because he knows about all these ways that Jesus' name is going to be proclaimed in our neighborhood, and he doesn't want that to happen. So today we're going to spend an extended amount of time in prayer. We're going to pray about this unseen battle right here in the neighborhood. We're going to pray that God's mighty hand is moving and is active, transforming people's hearts and lives through the opportunities that we have for ministry. We're going to pray against the devil and his work and his evil schemes. And I'd actually like you on this absolutely gorgeous day to head out into the neighborhood and to go on a prayer walk and to pray for these things right in our neighborhood. There are maps by the back door that will show you where different things are happening this summer. And you can actually go to those places and pray for how God will be working there. Or you might choose to stay right here in the warehouse and watch the pictures up on the screen and pray for them as they come up. So we're ending our formal time of worship a little bit early today. But we're asking that you don't just stop worshiping, but that you use these extra moments to go out and to pray. And when you're finished, we welcome you to come on back into the warehouse to enjoy the cookies and coffee and whatever's in the back, to enjoy fellowship together. Maybe you want to spend this time in prayer with your family or with groups of two or three. I know Bible Bistro is going to go out together, or maybe by yourself. But whatever it may be, go out and pray with Peter's blessing to the church. And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I invite you to go out and to pray in the neighborhood.